Well, it's been a while, hasn't it, since we looked at the story of Moses. So for the benefit of our guests here this morning, we've been looking at Moses and Exodus. We're not very far through, actually, and it's been a good journey. But of course, with Christmas and the New Year and everything, and Advent, it's been a while back. So last time we looked at how Moses fired loads and loads of questions at God, didn't he, concerning what he was being asked to do. And I said that many people often look at that scripture and think Moses is faithless, and you know it was a wrong thing for him to do. But I suggested that maybe we could look at that very differently and say that actually what Moses was doing was getting himself into a place of faith. It was a big thing that God was asking Moses to do, and he wanted some answers. He wanted more information. And I think it's not a bad thing to go back to God and say, God, you know, just what about this and what about that? If it's with the purpose, not with the purpose of trying to resist God, but with the purpose of trying to get yourself into a place of faith. It's okay to ask God questions. And the dialogue between God and Moses, it concluded and finished with God agreeing to send his brother Aaron alongside him. And again, I pointed out that, you know, often, God will bring the right people alongside you. And sometimes that's when we are at our best, not when we are on our own, but we are walking with one another, and particularly walking side by side, maybe someone who's just put you alongside you to help you and to bring the best out of you. Well, we're going to pick up the story now in Exodus chapter 4, verse 18. Moses is ready to go, so let's read those next few scriptures, 18 to 31. When Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, "Let me return to my own people in Egypt to see if any of them are still alive." And Jethro said, "Go, I wish you well." Now the Lord had said to Moses in Midian, "Go back to Egypt, for all those who wanted to kill you are dead." So Moses took his wife and sons, put them on a donkey, and started back to Egypt. He took his staff of God in his hand. Then the Lord said to Moses, "When you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you the power to do. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Then say to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says, Israel is my firstborn son. I told you, let my son go so he may worship me, but you refused to let him go, so I will kill your firstborn son." And at a lodging place on the way, the Lord met Moses and was about to kill him. But Zipporah took a flint knife, cut off her son's foreskin, and touched Moses' feet with it. "Surely you are a bridegroom of blood to me," she said. So the Lord let him alone. At that time, she said, "bridegroom of blood," referring to circumcision. The Lord said to Aaron, "Go into the wilderness to meet Moses." So he met Moses at the mountain of God and kissed him. And then Moses told Aaron everything the Lord had sent him to say, and also about the signs he had commanded him to perform. Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites, and Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. He also performed the signs before the people, and they believed. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshipped. Praise God. I've called this week, this message, repentance. And it falls at a very interesting time of year. It's that it's early January. It's where time that people make New Year's resolutions. Wave your hand if you've made a New Year's resolution this year. Ooh, one person. Wow. I stopped making New Year's resolutions a long time ago. It's probably the only resolution I've actually succeeded in. I just found that when I made a New Year's resolution, I may have kept it for a week, 2 weeks, and very lucky, or maybe a month, but really they just didn't last. And I'm not suggesting that you don't make New Year's resolutions if you find them helpful, you're provoked to do so. But really, my feeling is that if you're going to make a change, and that change is going to last, then that change needs to come from inside you, from a deep conviction. This is what you need to do. Not because it's some arbitrary time of year that's telling you yeah, you should do this. Now, it's interesting because when I was reading through the next few chapters of Exodus, and I read you know, quite a few chapters, I was trying to consider, okay, what should I preach on next from this story, particularly for the beginning of 2023. You know, I almost passed over this scripture. And the reason I almost passed over it is because of verses 24 to 26, which seem really random and out of place. And, you know, I wanted to get back to the meat of the story, this journey of bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt. And this kind of just got in the way. But I thank God that he didn't let me overlook this scripture. I kept finding myself going back to it. I felt it was going to be really important to us at the beginning of this year. I felt that, you know, God was saying, this is important before you can go any further. You see, so far, Moses, he's been protected, he's been prepared, he's been called the burning bush, and he's been brought to a place of faith. He's eager now to get on and do what God has actually called him to do. And then seemingly, without any warning whatsoever, we have this situation where God confronts him and seems to be about to kill him. You know, this was kind of a life-death, make-break situation. There was no moving forward for Moses until whatever needed sorting out got sorted out. And as we look further, into this scripture, I want to pose a question for every one of us here this morning. You know, as we continue this journey with God, this journey that we're on as a church or as individuals, and especially as we look at this story, is there something that needs to be put right with God before we can move forward? You know, at the very beginning of this series, when, you know, back in September, I think, whenever we started it, I shared with you that I really felt this story, this study, was from God, and it was going to be important to us as a church. Some of you know this, many of you probably don't. Every 2 months, I interact with Rob Scott Cook from Woodlands Church. Rob's very faithful in prayer, and he prays for me and my family, prays for the church. So every 2 months, I give Rob, he asks me, and I send Rob an email about things that, you know, going on in the church and going on in my life for him to pray for. And one of the things I shared with him, I said, look, Rob, I said, we've been on this journey of Moses and Exodus. I really feel it's important. Will you pray into that? Literally straight away, he replied to me, and he said, and I shared this on Wednesday evening for those of you there. He said, oh, that's great. He said, as a church, they feel, and he feels personally, that the prophetic word for 2023 is pursuing God's presence, or pursuing his presence. He went on to say in his email, says, and this is a really important scripture, Exodus 33:14, and this is a scripture I've quoted many times over the last few months. And he says this, Moses said to God, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. And the Lord replied, my presence will go with you. Don't you find that encouraging? Well, I find it personally encouraging, because I really felt stirred by God that this is something we should do. So when I hear from somebody like Rob Scott Cook, quite independently, that he's saying, you know, a prophetic word for 2023, and we are associated with Woodlands Church, you know, is to pursue his presence. And that scripture, if you don't go with us, then don't send us. Then that just touches my heart. So yes, God, you're just confirming. You're increasing my faith. However, and this is the kind of a little bit of a gotcha, if you're going to pursue God's presence and pursue the Holy Spirit, it comes with a responsibility to walk righteously and openly before God. You see, Moses, he was on the threshold of doing something really critical, really important in terms of bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt and into the promised land. And at this moment in time, it was time to do business. You know, God was stopping and saying, okay, right, we're going to do some business. And as we enter into 2023, I'm feeling in my spirit right now in January that this is what God wants to stir within us. If we're going to move forward, then maybe there's some things that he's going to require of us. Next slide, please. Now, you'll notice as we read that scripture that it kind of fits into three parts. There's the first part where God reminds Moses about what he needs to do and go and talk to Pharaoh, and he tells him that Pharaoh's not going to listen to you, but don't worry, I'm going to sort it out. Then we have this kind of strange bit of scripture, verses 24 to 26, when God confronts him. And then he kind of comes back to normal again, and Moses meets up with Aaron, and they go to the elders, and the elders respond really positively. So we get this little bit in the middle that is a strange scripture. And this morning, that's what I want to actually focus in on, verses 24 to 26. I just feel that it's going to be important to us. And underlying that scripture, I feel, is this whole thing about repentance. And I've said it's repentance, which is much more than a New Year's resolution. And what I want us to do is I want us to look at what actually is going on in this scripture, because it's strange. What's going on, and how does it apply to us in 2023? And you'll notice from my slides, previous slides, I always have lots of nice pictures. If I can't get nice normal graphics, I go to the Brick Bible and get pictures from the Brick Bible. Not surprisingly, given what I'm going about to focus in on, there weren't that many pictures that I could use. Interestingly, the Brick Bible, the Lego Bible, had some really graphic pictures for this. I definitely didn't think I could show those. So you might want to look those up sometime. So the pictures, there aren't as many pictures, there are a few. Okay, next slide. Now, many Bible scholars find this particular scripture, 24 to 26 of Exodus 4, one of the most enigmatic scriptures that there are, which basically means it's really hard to understand. It's really, really hard to interpret. It's hard to make sense of this. And there are lots of questions that we could ask ourselves about this. In the NIV, which is what we read, it says that God was about to kill Moses. However, in the original Hebrew version of the Bible, it doesn't say Moses. It just says God was about to kill him. So we might ask the question, well, could it equally have been that God was about to kill the son, this one that hadn't been circumcised? That's an interesting question. That could be who he referred to. It said that Zipporah intervenes and sorts things out. But why did Zipporah do that? Why didn't Moses do that? Because it would have seemed more sensible for Moses to do that kind of thing. And anyway, Zipporah did this. How did she know what to do? How did she know that's what needed doing in order to appease God? And what's this thing about husband and blood? What is going on in this story? It definitely is a strange passage. But nevertheless, within all of those questions and uncertainties, there are some things I think we can be pretty certain about. And I think what we can be certain about is the problem seems to be the fact that one of Moses' sons, and it's probably the second one, although it doesn't say, one of Moses' sons had not been circumcised. And this provoked God's anger. I think we can be sure of this because the moment Zipporah circumcised her son, it says that God left him alone. Some translations say they let him go. So I think it's fair to say that circumcision was the issue. But the question is, why was it such an issue? Why was this circumcision such a big deal? Why is it important to God? I think to fully understand this, we need to look at a few scriptures in the Old Testament to see what circumcision was all about at this time. Circumcision was the evidence, if you like, of the covenant between God and his people. It says in Genesis 17, verses 9 to 11, it says that God said to Abraham, "As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for generations to come. And this is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between you and between me and you." A few verses later, it says in verses 13 to 14, "Whether born in your household or bought with money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. An uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. I mean, that is pretty clear. It's pretty clear. It's black and white. So the fact that one of Moses' sons had not been circumcised goes completely against the grain, right opposite to this one important thing that God said to Abraham: you must circumcise your male, your sons. Now, we could do some speculation here. Why had this happened? Okay, why had Moses not circumcised one of his sons? And it is speculation. Now, Moses had been away from his people for 40 years. He was married to a Midianite. So maybe he just didn't feel it was relevant anymore. I don't need to do this. I'm not with my people. Maybe he just felt it wasn't relevant to him personally. Maybe Moses actually had circumcised his first son, Gershom. And his wife found the whole thing truly abhorrent. It's a possibility. And hence that reference to husband of blood. You know, why are you doing this, Moses? This is just horrible. It's grotesque. And maybe if that had been the case, and Moses had been given a hard time the first time around, maybe Moses just didn't want to fight this battle again. You know, it's just I just don't want to do it in the current situation. Also, you need to cast your way 40 years back from this. You remember Moses tried to lead the people and they weren't interested. Who made you ruler over us? So maybe he didn't ever see himself going back to his people. So that's why he just didn't bother circumcising. You know, there are lots of reasons why Moses might not have circumcised his son. The thing is, what we do know is it was important to God. So important, in fact, that God confronted him or his son and was about to kill him. Now, many people, and you might think this, why was God about to kill him just because he hadn't performed this outward act, this physical act of circumcision? Boy, oh boy, doesn't that seem a bit over the top, extreme? But I think we need to understand that this physical act of circumcision, that circumcision actually is far more than just that outward physical act on a young male. It had a much deeper inner spiritual meaning. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 6, it says this. It says, "The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants, so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul, and you will live." It says in Jeremiah 4:4, it says, "Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Circumcise your hearts, you people of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, or my wrath will flare up and burn like fire because of the evil you have done." You see, with God, it was always about the heart. So Moses had failed to do this physical, this outward thing. But actually, what it was really uncovering was an issue of the heart, a much deeper issue. Heart, circumcision of the heart, which is about true obedience. It's about total submission to God. It's about all in, holding nothing back. And somehow God had seen in Moses an issue of the heart, and this had to be dealt with before he could move forward. Moses was actually on the move. You know, in this story that we read, he was on the move. He was somewhere there at some lodging place. So he was going. So outwardly, everything looked like it was good. It was all on track. But you know, you can't move forward if your heart is not right. You can do all the outward things you like, but God looks at the heart. You can't move forward if your heart's not right. You know, I said at the beginning, this is all about repentance. You know, Zipporah was very quick to react to God's anger. And she circumcises her son, and God lets go, and they're able to move on. I asked this question, didn't I, earlier? How did Zipporah know what to do? You know, as you try and immerse yourself in these stories and think about these kind of things, it does kind of make you imagine what might have been going on here. I mean, a question, had this issue of circumcision been in their lives for quite some time. Maybe they'd argued about it over the years. Maybe it's something that Moses kind of always knew that he needed to do, but he just kept pushing it down. Not now, God. Not now. Maybe later. But, you know, God, I don't want to deal with this now. Maybe he just didn't feel it as important, but you know, time after time after time, he just kept getting this kind of nagging thing in his spirit that God just kept prodding him, circumcision, circumcision. We often face things like that, don't we? Things that we kind of bury, push out the way. We don't want to deal with it. I don't know. I'm speculating. Of course, it's still a bit puzzling as to why Zipporah deals with this thing and not Moses. Maybe it's because it was actually Moses that God was about to kill. Maybe he was, God was doing this through, bringing an illness on Moses, so bad that he was lying in his bed, about to die. He couldn't do anything. Hence, that's why, Zipporah had to deal with it. Maybe Moses said to Zipporah, look, I know you don't like this, but Zipporah, we've got to do this. Go and circumcise our son. Maybe he did it that way. These are just important things. Next slide, please, Ed. At some point in this whole encounter, Zipporah is sent home along with her family. Now, we know that if you look in Exodus chapter 18, verse 2, it says that Zipporah had been sent home. Again, we can speculate as to why this had happened. Maybe Moses was trying to protect his family. I don't know. Why, if he was trying to protect his family, why did he take his family in the first place? Would kind of go through my mind. Maybe he didn't want his family to become a distraction to him. That's a possibility. Families can be a huge distraction, can't they? Positively, but nevertheless, you're trying to do something and you only try to deal with family issues as well. Maybe he didn't want to be delayed whilst he waited for his son to heal from the circumcision. Maybe he was angry with Zipporah for getting him into this mess in the first place. And go home. I don't want you around anymore. I think that's probably not so likely. Personally, I think the most likely answer to this is probably deep in his spirit, God told him, okay, Moses, we're really doing business now. Send your wife, send your children home. It's you and me. We're going to do this. It's speculation, but I like to imagine these kind of things. We don't know. What it says to me, though, that circumcision of the heart, true circumcision, can sometimes require some difficult choices. It can sometimes require some putting things down, some major sacrifice. And we have heard about that this morning. To move forward, what do we need to let go of? And sometimes, if we are going to be truly circumcised to God, maybe God is starting to touch things in our lives that we need to put down and let go of. In these few verses, something really significant happened to Moses, that by the time we get to verse 27 and things kind of come back to normal again, God tells Aaron to go and meet with him, and Moses is ready, he's equipped, he's got God's staff, and he's willing to do everything that God called him to do. I believe in what happened at that point in Moses' life was true, what the Bible calls true repentance. Something was wrong. It probably was a deep issue of the heart. There was an outward evidence of it, but really there was an issue of the heart. Moses had to repent. And the beautiful thing about repentance, he brought Moses right back on track. So verse 2, it's like if you took all that middle bit out, it would just flow. He was right back to where he needed to be. He was with Aaron. He's talking to the elders. The elders are responding positively. He's restored. And that's what happens when you do it God's way and you're willing to make those sacrifices. You lay things down. You make the right choices. You trust God. He brings you back to where he needs us to be. So how does this apply to us now, today, in 2023? I talked about New Year's resolutions, didn't I? And I felt that simply doing, deciding to do something just because it's January the 1st doesn't necessarily lead to lasting change. what we've just read in this story couldn't be further away from what we think of as a New Year's resolution. But that decision that Moses made was absolutely life-changing, and it was necessary. And I believe that God still requires us, all of us today, to be circumcised. You know what I mean? To have circumcision of the heart. Circumcision of the heart. Remember, it was always, always about the heart. We know we're not under the law. More law of Moses. We are under grace. There's nothing that we can do that can gain us salvation. It's about faith in Jesus and all that Jesus has done. However, you see the scripture on the screen there in Romans 2, verses 28 to 29 says, "For you are not a true Jew just because you were born Jewish parents or because you have gone through the ceremony of circumcision. No, a true Jew is one whose heart is right with God. True circumcision is not merely obeying the letter of the law. Rather, it's a change of heart produced by the Spirit. And a person with a changed heart seeks praise from God, not from people." Now, there are times in our lives where we've just got to simply do the right thing. Sometimes it's not about pleasing people around us, trying to live up to everybody else's expectations of what they want us to do, what they think we should do. It's really about hearing God. And God, what do you want me to do? What is it on your heart? And what is it in my heart, Lord, that you at this time are needing to address? Sometimes it's not about the stuff we do on the outside that people can see. Think, wow, aren't they good? Look at the way they're living their lives. Look at the way they read their Bible, blah, blah, blah. God looks at the heart. Always looks at the heart. And often, and I'm sure you know this, I know this, often God will be prodding our heart for quite some time. He's relentless. God does not give up. We might keep ignoring these issues and we might think eventually they will go away. But I don't think they do go away. I want to come back to that question I raised for us all at the beginning. As we continue on this journey with God, either individually or as a church, is there something that needs to be put right with God before we can move forward? Have I, or have we as a church, been avoiding something or putting something off that is important to God? Does God keep bringing me back to the same place, but I am resisting? Have I let something slip? I used to be brilliant in some area of God and my life with God and Christianity, and somehow over a period of time, because of circumstances or whatever, I've just let something slip. But God didn't want you to let that slip. That was always important to God, and God's come back to you and say, "Hey, hang on a minute. You used to do that. That was great and that was important. I want you to pick that up again. You put it down and you shouldn't have put it down." Maybe my past failures have caused me to think that, there's no point anymore. I can't see a way back to being all that I believe God called me to be. Once upon a time I had such a vision, I had such feeling about things I wanted to do in serving God. I could just see, but I can't see it now. My circumstances have changed. This happens, that's happened. I've done this, I've let God down, I've sinned in this way. I just can't see that anymore. Remember what happened? When God dealt with Moses, he brought him back, he restored him. He was back and moving exactly where God wanted him to be. But to do that, Moses had to put something down. And is there something, whether it's good or bad, is there something I need to lay down before I can move forward? These are really important questions, and I think they're worthy to consider. I think if we can answer these things, if we can make that kind of change, that will be a New Year's resolution. But it'll be a New Year's resolution inspired by the Holy Spirit, inspired by a deep conviction of God that this is something that God wants me or wants us to change. And as we continue this journey of Moses and the children of Israel, all sorts of things are going to be happening over the next few sessions. We're going to have We're going to have victories. We're going to have disappointments. We're going to have frustrations and losing your temper. You know, it's all going to be happening there. But the starting point is this point in Exodus chapter 4, where Moses had started off, but God confronts him and said, okay, you think you're ready to go, but what about this? What about this? Are you willing to put this right? You know, there's so much more in this scripture that I could have shared. In fact, my notes were much bigger than this. I had all sorts of really interesting stuff as I'd studied. I took it all out because it just gets in the way. You have to really learn to be disciplined when you preach, because it's not all relevant, even though it's good. Let me summarize. The beginning of 2023, this is where we are. It's time to reflect. I would encourage us all to reflect on your own lives, reflect on what you feel God is saying to us as a church. What is God saying to me? Good thing to go away, find a quiet place, pray and worship. What is God saying to me? What is God saying to us as a church? Is there anything in my life that I need to put right, I need to deal with? Remember, circumcision is a circumcision of the heart. It's not what we do on the outside. It's what goes on inside here. Circumcision of the heart means holding nothing back. It means hiding nothing from God. It means I am totally surrendered to God. It means I'm all in. I'm totally committed. I come with open hands and open heart. What's your response going to be? I want to finish with just a few final thoughts, and these thoughts are even more challenging than what I've just shared. Some final thoughts. Again, I do a lot of thinking. I wonder if God would have actually challenged Moses about this circumcision if Moses had decided he wasn't going to do the task. So that thing around the burning bush, what if after all that question and answer, say, well, sorry, God, I'm not doing this. It's just too much. I wonder, would God have actually then addressed this issue of circumcision? It's a scary thought, really. But, you know, when we step up and step out as a result of God's conviction, that's often when God steps in. When we step up and step out, he steps in. That's often when God will start to address things, when we are ready to go. And if you don't want that kind of challenge in your life, if you don't want God to step in and sort things out, then I highly recommend to all of you to just stay on the periphery of the church and just watch it all happen and don't get involved and don't commit. What are you saying? That's ridiculous. But it's the truth. If you don't want God to address your lives and stay out of his way, stay on the periphery, just watch. But it'd be a really sad place to be, because I think you'll miss out on God's best. And who knows what God could do with you if you're willing to step up and step out. And I pray for every single one of us that none of us actually want to stay on the periphery, but all of us want to be in the center of what God has called us to do. It's time to pursue the Holy Spirit, that word, that prophetic word. It's time to pursue him. It's time to pursue the Holy Spirit. God, unless you go with us, don't send us. God does want to go with us, but it's not on our terms. It's on his terms.